The Holy Gospel this day comes from John in the 14th chapter. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but it's from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." The Gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. So my friends, we are nearing the end of the Easter season. And for the last 2 weeks, we've been hearing from the Gospel of John in this section of writing that is often called Jesus's farewell discourse. It takes place on, if we remember back, it takes place on Maundy Thursday, the night before Good Friday. It's in the upper room, and Jesus has gathered there with his friends to share in this Passover meal together. And now, fully aware that his arrest and crucifixion is looming, Jesus begins to share his parting words with them. Parting words of love, of peace, and a promise of the Holy Spirit. A promise of Jesus' continuing presence with them. Last week, Jesus told them, "I give you a new commandment. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." And then this week he continues with this theme of love, saying that the true test of faith, the true marker of our love for Jesus, is keeping his word. Now the word for keep here in this verse in the original Greek is tereo. And it has this connotation of guarding or preserving something. And then it's like being vigilant and saving his word in our hearts. And it's also related to another Greek word called theireo, meaning to behold something, to concentrate on something, and to concentrate so that we can fully understand its meaning. In this case, it's concentrating on, wait for it, love. Love. His whole farewell discourse, the theme that runs through it all, is love. Our love for Jesus is expressed in our love for others. Our love for Jesus is expressed in our love for others. Our love is expressed for Jesus in how we serve our neighbors and those in need. It's not simply this feeling of love that we have for Jesus, but it's a doing thing. It's a verb. It's about how we orient our lives in such a way that people around us are loved and cared for, and that they know that they are loved, and that they are worthy. Someone once asked me a while ago, "Pastor, how do I get closer to God?" And I responded with some clarifying questions. I asked, do you want to learn more about God, or do you want to grow in your relationship with God? Because I think those things are similar, but I think they're distinct. Both, he said. He was already reading his Bible every day, which is awesome, immersing himself in God's redemptive story and learning about how God has proven faithful and worked throughout history and time. I then told him, now if you want to grow in your relationship with God, here is my suggestion. Find a way to be with people, particularly those who are poor or marginalized, who are suffering or hungry or have been abused, those who might find themselves on the edges of society. For these are the types of people that Jesus surrounded himself with. These are the people that Jesus found himself in fellowship and kinship with. So to be around them, not just to serve them food from a distance, from across a counter with very little interaction, though that is a good start, but to speak with them, to listen, to share maybe in a meal with them, to find that connection and kinship maybe with them, that is to see life through Jesus' eyes. That is to look at each other through Jesus' eyes. And how, in doing so, how can you not grow in your relationship with God? Without practicing love towards others, without seeing others through Jesus' own eyes, we run the risk of turning our love for God into an exercise of self-righteousness and pride or vanity or even idolatry. It's like taking our knowledge about God and acting as if we know all the answers now because we have read our Bible from cover to cover. It's knowledge without a transformed heart. And that sometimes can become self-seeking. But when we orient ourselves and our lives towards others, and we try hard to look through the eyes of Jesus at our neighbor, I think there's a change that happens in us. I think it's the change that Jesus is talking about here. Those who love me and keep my word, well, the Father and I will come down and we will make our home with you. God will come to dwell in us. Now think about it for a moment. This is a really powerful thing that Jesus is saying. All throughout Israel's history, God has been present with them. God has dwelled with them in a very particular way. When they were a nomadic people way back when, God dwelled in the tabernacle, this tent that was mobile that they would bring around with them. And then now in Jesus' time, God dwelt in the temple, this huge stone building at the center of their life in Jerusalem. God dwelled in the holiest of holies, the innermost, most sacred room in the temple, behind this massive curtain. It was a mysterious place where only the highest of priests could go once a year on Yom Kippur to burn incense. It was a mysterious place, this place of holy of holies where God dwelled. And the temple itself was this central place in the life of Jerusalem and Israel. And now Jesus makes a promise, a new promise. Upon Jesus' death, the temple curtain, do you remember what happens? When Jesus dies, the temple curtain is torn in two. God no longer dwells in the temple, but inside those who love God and keep Jesus' word. The presence of God is not going away further. The presence of God is coming closer. It's coming closer in a more intimate and personal way. One of my favorite theologians, Caroline Lewis, puts it this way: God refuses to love from a distance. God refuses to love from a distance. Now, it's critical to note here something, that God's love for you is not an if-then situation. It's not, if you want God to love you, then you must love your neighbor. God's love is not transactional like that. It's not an if-then. Rather, it's because God loves you first, and God claims you first as God's own. It's because God's love is first revealed to us on the cross. It's because Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. It's because Jesus sets us free from shame and guilt. It's because God always makes the first move towards us. And that move is always in love. And so because of those things, that we are called to pick up our crosses and to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus into those places where love is needed, where grace is needed, where friendship and hope and kinship and connection are needed. That's where Jesus calls us to follow. God refuses to love us from a distance, and I think that our love for our neighbors should be the same. Sometimes we think of caring for people who are poor and hungry or oppressed. We come to it with this mindset as if we are the ones who are doing the caring, that we are the ones coming into this just with the things to give, right? But that isn't true. The power in these interactions is actually in finding that kinship and connection with people. For example, not just giving out a meal to someone, but actually sharing it with them. There's a difference. And it's in these types of moments in my life where I have found myself served and loved too. Where I have found myself changed and transformed. It's in these moments where I have become more aware than ever of God's dwelling presence inside of me. Stoking that fire of faith, stirring up courage, and giving me hope. Jesus' farewell discourse, it is beautiful in that it solidifies what Jesus intends for you and I, his disciples in the world, that our highest calling, our highest purpose in life is to love. That is our primary vocation in the world, is to love. And whatever form that takes in our lives, and whatever form that takes in our workplaces or schools, or our friendships in our neighborhood or in our communities, we are to love. So my prayer for us this day is that we never tire of practicing love, for it is the way of Jesus, it's the way of our God. Amen.